what they speak.
That's right.
You can't. You can't keep me from prospering. So, well, they might kill you. My Lord, talk about prospering, brother. Glory to God. That, now, that's prosperity, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Whoa, glory to God. That's the reason I don't care. My Father loves me. I don't have a care. If I start fussing over those cares, it'll steal the word out of me. Fear will be the result. And I'll be right back over there in that Babylonian mess with confusion in all quadrants. We better get back to the 20th chapter of Matthew. Some exciting information here. So, verse 1. Matthew 20. Hallelujah. This is one of the most exciting situations in the Bible. For the kingdom of heaven. Aha. So we better listen up, hadn't we? It's talking about where we live. We've been translated into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're in the body of Christ. We're in the kingdom, hallelujah, and He's judge. He is judge, advocate, general of the church. Glory to God. And we're bone of His bone. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is like a man that's a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When did he go out? Early in the morning. So he really has a lot of interest in this, doesn't he? He went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny or a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Now, again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour. I mean, he's spending all day at this. So there really must be something here on his mind other than that vineyard. He went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why are you standing here all day? All day. They had been standing there all day. Why stand you here all day idle? And they said to him, because no man has hired us. And he said to them, you go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you will receive. And so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they had come, them that were hired about the 11th hour, so they worked 1 hour. Like Brother Moore said, they didn't even get their clothes dirty, brother. I mean, they ain't been out there but an hour. 1 hour now. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Then they got mad about it. When they had received that, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought, they've worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal. You made them equal. To us. Now, there was a reason for this in here, and we'll get to it in just a moment. And we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. He answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Now, notice he called him friend. Why did he call him friend? Hang it right up there on the thought ring, and we'll get to that in a minute. And you'll notice that when he called him friend, the word friend is capitalized, indicating covenant. I do you no wrong. Did not you agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours, go your way. I will give unto this last even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because I'm good? So the last to be first and the first to be last. Many are called, but few chosen. You want me to tell you why few are chosen? There's only a few show up. When I was a kid, you know, we played baseball all summer. Back in those days, if you bought a ball glove, the back strap had a button on it, and you could unbutton and stick it under your belt. I carried my glove with me all the time. Man, it allowed to be a ball game any minute. And wasn't no video game. Are you kidding? Wasn't no video. So we played ball. And man, just had a gang of the time playing ball. Well, we'd run up and down the neighborhood. Man, there's a ball. We're going to have a ball game Saturday morning. We'd get everybody there. And if you didn't have enough for two teams, you played scrub. And most of y'all looking at me like, why scrub? That's what you get for being so young. And we'd all get out there and then choose sides. Choose up our teams, you know. Well, you can't choose somebody that didn't show up. We called a lot of guys. Some of them's mama said they couldn't come. Some of them didn't want to come. But they weren't there. And you can go through the other account that Jesus talked about the king that had a supper, and he called, and all the excuses that those people had why they didn't show up. And it's the same excuses today, everything from little league games to who knows what. The plan of God is so vitally important. Every decision. This is what I meant when I said that there are born again people that the kingdom of God has little or nothing to do with their lives. And they'll die and go to heaven because Jesus is their Savior. And they know that. And they worship God and they go to church on Sunday. But there's a whole lot more seeking first the kingdom of God than that.
Amen.
I mean, these are laws to live. The just live by faith. You live by faith. You don't ever have to change the way you live. You're living on top all the time. You don't change the way you live because of the times. The times have to change because of you.
That's right.
Now, that's brought us back to Isaac. In Genesis 26, he began to dig those wells and water started flowing. They'd come take his well. Well, you notice he didn't argue with them. He just dig another well. That's what he was there for. The blessing was functioning in him and there was a famine on the land. They dug wells and didn't get anything. He dug wells and got water. The blessing of his dad and that oath that God would be his God was working in him and working on him. He just goes and digs another well, and they came over and took that one. He digs another well, they come over and take that one. And the Lord said, go over there across the valley. He went over there and hit an underground river. Well, they took that one. He didn't grumble about it. He just kept digging wells. Well, you need to study this from Jewish history as well as from the Scripture because it's so enlightening, particularly out of the Chumash. And The records are in there. The ancient commentators and commentaries on the Torah in the Chumash, and they said at that time that the blessing was making Isaac so rich that his estate got bigger than Abimelech's, and it made him mad. But they thought the famine was over because the wells were flowing, the crops were growing, and particularly the fruit trees. The fruit trees were bearing fruit again. They thought it was over. So they ran him off. But the Chumash commentaries say that when he left, the wells dried up, the fruit trees died.
Come on.
See, the famine wasn't over. The blessing had overwhelmed it. That's what you and I are for. That's the reason the creation is crying out for a manifestation of the sons of God. It's when Babylon's economy tanks and goes into the abyss is when you and I should be prospering greater than we ever have in our lives, because we got a city to feed. So that comes back to the motive of why you're doing what you're doing. Why do you get up and go to work? Why is it you spend your day where you do? What is the motive behind it? Well, you know, baby got to have a new pair of shoes and mama got to have some clothes. I'm glad I don't live in your house. Because I guarantee you, you're up to your ears in debt.
Mama.
No. We work for the expansion. We work for the mission. We work for the kingdom of God and the king in authority over this kingdom to promote, to lift up, and bring the blessing in its highest form and overwhelm what the devil has tried to do to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, if that's not why you're getting up in the morning, you need to go renew your mind, because you're probably in the wrong place too. God has set each member in the church, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, God has set each member in the church as it pleases Him. Amen. An eye, ear, nose. You got a job to do, brother. I mean, if you were a nose and you keep going to ear school, if you're a hand and you keep going to toe school, you ain't never gonna get it. They're going to flunk you every time you show up. Why? You're in the wrong place. And the Apostle Paul said right there in the book of Colossians, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge, with the wisdom and the knowledge of the will of God. It ain't no big mystery to you. It's a mystery to the devil and his operation. Amen. God will reveal it to you so quick and make your head swim. If you go after it in faith, He'll tell you where you belong.
Well, I don't know whether I want to do that or not. He might send me to 10 bug pit.
Well, if He does, it'll be because it's the grandest place on earth for you. It'll be the place where you have more joy. I'll tell you what, most of you never even prayed to find out what church you're supposed to go to. You don't go to a church because it's down there on the corner. If God told me to go to church here in Chicago, I wouldn't live in Fort Worth. I don't care what I had going in Fort Worth. If the church I'm to go to is that far from the house, and bless God, move the house. Because in that church is where my victory is. That's where my pastor is. That's where my revelation is. That's where my job is. And that's where the strength and power of God is. And that's where the blessing is in operation. And there are people, I'm telling you right here in this church, I wouldn't say it if the Lord hadn't already told me to say it, Pastor. There are people that have come into this church, brought their family in this church, and their children are being taught and trained, and they're getting the word, and they get healed, and jump up and go off someplace over a $15 raise. Don't ever make decisions based on money. Never. You'll be wrong 99% of the time, and the one time you wasn't wrong, you won't know why. Come on. Base your decisions on the anointing and the protecting of the anointing and being where you're supposed to be, because your master created you to be in that place, and you go get in it. And you work on assignment. And he'll be a whole lot more than you're worth. Why? Because you're an equal owner to the kingdom of God. He didn't he say Cheer up, little flock. It gives your Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Thank you, sir. I'll take it. I don't just live here. I own it. This is a family operation. Now, what if there is a man, very, very, very wealthy man, and he has two sons, and they're in business with him, and he calls them in, and he said, we've got a problem on one of our pipelines in South America, right there between Colombia and Venezuela, somewhere. We had a dynamite meeting week before last in Venezuela. It was over the top. Hallelujah. Amen. We actually did. That's not part of my story. I just thought about it and got excited and thought you all know. Chavez ain't running that place. He just thinks he is. And now, boys, now listen to me. We got a problem down there on the pipeline. And Mike, I want you to go down there. I want you to check that place out. And I want you to go to work welding on that pipeline. And I want you to keep an eye on that foreman. And you check that thing out down there, and you tell me what we need to do there. They're having trouble down there, man. I mean, there's famine in that place. We got to find out what's wrong. Whatever you need, you call me every day and tell me what you need, and I'll get it to you. But we got to correct that thing down there. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, here's a son that is heir to a multi-billion dollar corporation. He don't have to live on a pipe fitter's pay. Oh, Daddy, I don't want to go down there. Man, I don't want to live in that jungle. My, I'm going to live in that, them snakes and that tent and all that. I don't need to know. Now, wait a minute, dumb. Didn't he just tell you to call him if you need anything? Yeah, but I can't get along on $10 an hour. I mean, I can't make my Ferrari payments on that. Now, that's the way the world thinks. Everything based on the money. But over here in the kingdom of God, everything's based on results. We have to stop that problem down there because people are hurting. He ain't worried about money. Because his dad told him, you call me every day, I'll see to it you get everything you need. You just let me know what's going on. We got to straighten that mess out down there.
That's right.
And the reason I'm sending this boy instead of this boy is because he knows something about the area that I'm sending him to. Now, he's going to get out and have the time of his life.
Amen.
He's on a mission.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He goes in there in authority, has no fear of the jungles. None whatever. His dad's taught him how to live under these conditions, and he takes prosperity in there with him. Takes authority over the whole thing, finds out what's wrong, fixes it, and the whole area prospers. That's who we are. I don't want to go no 10 buck too, dear God. The economy's in something terrible. Your economy isn't. Theirs is. But that's the reason God needs you blessed. He needs you born again. He needs you baptized in the Holy Ghost. He needs you healthy, and he needs you rich. And religion stole all of them from us at one time or another. Religious correctness is a horror from hell.
Well, I wouldn't want to say I'm healed. I'm just a little nobody. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace.
Shut your worldly mouth. Can you imagine what kind of an insult that is to Jesus? Stand up in front of him and say things like that? just because you want to look humble in the sight of your friends. Well, I wouldn't want to say I'm healed. Well, that's the reason you're still sick. Right. See? That's religious correctness. Yeah. And it is mean, because it'll steal everything you got.
Oh, yes, Brother Copeland, but
here comes the unbelief.
Anytime you hear, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but yeah, but,
and the other one is,
what if? Yeah, but what if? I don't even want to hear it. I know the Bible says I'm healed, but you don't understand.
You better get your but what if out of the way.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Let's get in this vineyard with these men. Let's see what's going on here. The first group, the ones that worked all day, demanded a contract. He had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. That was a day's wages back then. Old English is penny. It's a denarius, I believe is what he said. Anyway, they had a contract and they wouldn't go to that vineyard without one. Well, after all, they got a union. I don't have time to turn there right now, but James chapter 4 and 5 deals with the union and what our union is in the kingdom of God. We have a labor union in the kingdom of God. And we don't, well, read it for yourself. But study it, don't just glaze over it. Then he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard and whatever is right, I will give it to you. They didn't make any agreement. They just took off and went. So they went by faith, didn't they? He was looking for people to bless. He wasn't just looking to get his vineyard worked in. He was looking for people to bless. The fact that he had a vineyard represents the blessing of God. He's looking for people that'll come get in his vineyard, and he'll give you the vineyard if you just come on here and get in it. He's not looking for a contract with somebody. He's looking for faith. Amen. Well, he went out about the 6th and 9th hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and he said to them, why stand you here all day idle? These guys had needs. They hadn't worked all day. He said to them, because no man has hired us. He said, you go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, you shall receive. That was pure grace. Amen. Just pure grace. They didn't know what they're going to get. They didn't ask any questions, and they certainly didn't demand any contract. They'd been all day, that ain't work. And here's a guy who's going to hire me at 4 o'clock, and we get off at 5. What kind of deal is this? Well, I don't know how much he's going to pay me, but if he doesn't pay me nothing but supper, I'll be ahead of what it was yesterday. And boy, they cut out for the vineyard. And like Brother Keith said, they didn't even get their clothes dirty. And they got the same thing the guys got that had the contract. Are you seeing through this? He was looking for people to bless. Now, people get mad when we get blessed. Why? Because their system has them bound down and it's stealing everything they've got. And the more they lose, the more they say, and the more they say, the more they lose, because they're working to meet their own needs. They're working for their own benefit. They're working for their own selfishness. Amen. And Jesus said, why do you take any thought at all about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and what you're going to drink. Why do you even take thought about that? Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, parentheses. That's why He put it in the covenant. He knew you got need of all of those things. That's the reason it's in the covenant. Jesus said, don't even take thought about that. He's going to take care of me. He wants me in the vineyard. I'm going. I don't care if it's sun up or sun down. I'm going. And if He don't come say it's time to go to bed, I'm going to work all night long. Praise God. Why? Because this is where I'm supposed to be. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. You find your place and it's your shouting ground. It becomes your wealthy place. It becomes your laughing place. Hallelujah. My first day in my adult life in the perfect will of God was at Oral Roberts University, and I was there that day to register in class, and I got there so early it wasn't open. And it was Tulsa in January. The wind is blowing and it's cold. And I got to wait until they open this place up where I can get in. I'm 30 years old, oldest freshman on the planet. And I got down in the stairwell, brother, to get out of the wind. And I'm standing there shouting, praising God. I'm a scriptural illiterate, but I knew I was in the plan of God. And that was the first day of my life. Amen. Oh my. I was where I was supposed to be. And I was surprised at how well things worked. I was where I planned to be. Then if people that are struggling over on their road, their plan, He has prepared paths that we should walk in them. And I'm over here going from pothole to pothole. Wham! Our group, Jerry and Carolyn Saville and Dennis and Vicki Burke and Gloria and me and Jesse and Kathy Duplantis, we were riding through Yellowstone. And you remember back a few years ago when they had that monstrous forest fire through just like the gutted Yellowstone. It just went, just swept it. And they called in all kinds of big equipment. They tore those roads all to pieces. We're on motorcycles and it's raining. Well, normally that ain't no big deal, you know. Rain don't hurt anybody. And so we're driving along there and you get water on the windshield and then you get water on your face shield. And so you're trying to see through two different sets of waters. And the little drops all get mixed up and you get kind of cross-eyed and you don't really know where, you can't see the road real good. And you just hit one pothole right after another. And all that big equipment had caused all these big holes in the road. Wham! And they're surprised when you can't see them. Yeah. And we're just banging into one pothole after another. Well, I had been praying about this some time before that. And I'd really been going on my face and crying out to God for a windshield wiper on a motorcycle, but I just said with my mouth, these things ought to have a windshield wiper on. Yeah. I never seen a motorcycle in my life a windshield wiper on. Not long after that, there's a guy come out with a windshield wiper for a motorcycle. And I found out about it. Now see, oh, God don't care nothing about that motorcycle. He gave me that to enjoy. Amen. Amen. I don't care nothing about a motorcycle. I didn't ask you. You wasn't there when I was praying. So I got a windshield wiper and put on my motorcycle. Well, when we showed up with that windshield wiper on that on the windshield of that bike, I mean, particularly Jesse, he kind of razzed me about that. And I didn't say anything. And we just went on. Well, we got in that rain going through there, and my little windshield wiper's doing this, and I'm dodging the potholes. And Dennis Burke told me that night, he said, I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw your windshield wiper going. He said, I thought to myself, I give $500 for that windshield wiper. I had that right now. Oh, glory. You mean to tell me God is interested in something like that? There's not one little tiny He is interested in the hair on your head.
Yeah. Mm. Amen.
Live your whole life in Him. He'll live His whole life in you. Did you understand? Don't you realize? If it hadn't been for sin, God had never had a serious thought. He's a dancing God. He's a music God. He's a let's have a family party God. Amen. Until death came on the scene. And that's when He became God in the face of the devil. But He's still Father to you and to me. And when we're praising, enjoying life, and enjoying the things that He's blessed us with, hallelujah. I've gotten more people saved in my personal witness on the back of a motorcycle than I ever did anywhere before. Thousands of people, I guess. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, everybody recognizes Jesse.
Hey, Brother Jesse.
Amen. And we were over in Colorado, and this is another trip. And I had put I had a rag around my head. I hadn't shaved in a couple of days, and I had on my leathers. And we just got off the bikes, and we'd gone in and got some water to drink and stuff, and fueled up. And was standing out there. Jesse's standing next to me, and Gloria's standing here next to me on the other side. She had her leathers on too. It's cold up there, and we had all that on. And as people come sliding to a stop, there's four or five people in a car. Brother Jesse! Brother Jesse! Brother Jesse! Well, I just stood there. They stopped the car and jumped out and run over there talking to Brother Jesse and all that. And one of them said, Brother Copeland, is that you? I pulled that rag off my head. I was, yeah, it's me. I'm telling you, we have preached in every. We came into a town in Wyoming one time. They had blocked off the main street of town. We didn't know anything about this. Some kind of celebration. We didn't know what it was. So we joined their celebration. And we parked the bikes out, you know, and they got out there. And they were having a big karaoke contest. You know, where you sing with the music tracks. And they had a big thing set up out there. That Jesse, he gets up there and he starts singing with that, that karaoke thing. And somebody came over there to me and said, boy, you know that guy good, ain't he? I said, yeah. He said, you know, somebody liable to discover him. I said, you know, I really tell you, I think he's already been discovered. They said, you really think so? And there's Jesse up on top of that flatbed trailer just a-singing. Man, I mean, he's all over the place. Yeah. And then you preach the gospel. How could anybody be a Christian and have that much fun? We're supposed to be the most funny. We're supposed to be the most fun-loving people in town. We don't have to be drunk to have fun. In fact, we everybody to their own spirit. Sometimes we do get drunk. Amen. In the morning, you be hungover, and I still be drunk. Hallelujah. Get drunk in the Holy Ghost. One night we were in the state of Missouri, and this young boy came in to the store where we were. And he said, y'all are those preachers, aren't you? We said, yes. He said, you're Brother Copeland, aren't you? I said, yes. Is that Sister Copeland? I said, yes. He said, you're Brother Savelle.
Yeah.
And he's just a little boy, probably 13 maybe. He said, would y'all pray for my mama? We said, yeah, what's the matter with your mother? He said, she got cancer. And I thought I saw y'all come in here, and I want to know if you pray for my mama. I said, yeah, we'll pray for your mother. Do we need to follow you home? He said, no, I went home and got her. She's out there in the car. I doubt that young man had had a thing in the world to do with me if I'd have come walking in the store, you know, yeah, say, Mom. Big sign, I've been to the seminary. No, man, you just get real, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. God loves you. Amen. Like one old boy said about church, yes, amen. Bless God. He said, boy, they talk perpendicular, don't they? Well, you might just as well get in there and talk perpendicular right along with him too, buddy. Amen. This is the kingdom of heaven that's come down. We are the blessed ones. And one of these days, we will be singled out and pointed to as the glorified ones. And in the future ages, and we're walking down the street, and there'll be natural people, and they'll say, look, there's one of them. Hey, you know what? That's that Winston. That's a Bill Winston. He's a glorified one. Look at him. Oh, Lord, I wish I could have been one of them. They went through the war. They were there when Satan was totally defeated. Can you think about it? Can you see that scar around his neck? That's when he was persecuted for Jesus' sake. Oh, I wish I'd have been one of those. A glorified one. That's us. Amen. When he comes, I'll tell you, son, we out of here. But not till we get done. We'll be on assignment the day that he comes. There's not going to be any surprise to you and me. You're not going to know what day or what, but there's not anything that Jesus does when you're walking with him that you won't pick up on it in your spirit. You're going to get up that morning knowing there's some reason why your hair don't comb good. Man, something going on here. Whew, my spirit just doing a thing on the inside. Man, a lot, Jesus, is this the day? Glory be to God. Yeah, let's get on with it here. The kingdom of heaven, citizens of the household of faith. God is not looking for laborers to toil and to earn a living. He is searching for faith and obedience. Now, I'll close with this as far as I know. I believe this is my close. Faith and obedience. Mark chapter 1. Oh, now you got to make notes here now. Mark chapter 1. Boy, I done run out both clocks, Pastor. Well, I done gone this far, I might as well finish up. Because he can't get on me. I'm going home tonight. Oh, glory to God. No, he wouldn't do that. Mark chapter 1. Now, we know this story, but we don't know the bottom line of this story. Now, notice, in the 36th verse, Simon and they that were with him followed after him, after Jesus. And when they had found him, they said to him, all men seek for you. In other words, they had had a mighty outpouring of miracles and healings around Peter's home there. And so they're still hunting him, brother. They're trying to find him. Now notice verse 38. Look at this verse very carefully. Make notes of it. Write it down in your notebook if you're taking notes. Let us, now you notice that's red letters? Red letters win. Red letters are always the winner in every situation. Let us go into the next towns, underline, next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Now, would you say that's the plan? Would you? Yeah, that's the plan, isn't it? He told them the plan. They had a plan, but he said, no. It isn't my Father's plan. See, Jesus said, your will be done. Well, he could have said, your plan be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Where was he preaching? In the synagogues. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now, most people right there just go to preaching, glory to God. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. But we're not done here, particularly for what we're looking at tonight, faith and obedience. All right? Now notice carefully what happened. See thou say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them. He gave him a mission. He had a job to do. This was the plan. Jesus intended for this not only to heal the man, but to testify to the priests, to testify in the temple. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. This one disobedient man changed the course of Jesus' plan from heaven. You may work for Jesus and be his enemy at the same time. Because you work in your plan instead of what he... I had one preacher tell me one time, said, well, see, the reason he told him that, he was using reverse psychology so he could get a crowd. Jesus ain't ever reversed anything on anybody. He told him exactly what he intended for him to do. He had a witness to those priests that he intended to be carried out. He didn't intend for him to do any talking to anybody because he didn't want anybody talking him out of his healing. He declared to him to keep your mouth shut till you get your job done. But he disobeyed it and messed up the synagogues and the towns. So Jesus, even though it was the plan that I go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. But it got messed up in that whole area. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Here was a guy so thrilled because he got healed, but that's no excuse for being disobedient. Particularly to the one that heals you. Yeah. Amen. Now, in contrast to that, let's go to Mark 4. I'm still closing now. Just take it easy. Yeah. Now, Jesus had taught all day, 4th chapter of Mark, on the sower sows the word. In verse 34, without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. The same day when evening was come, he said, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now notice this, there was a great storm that arose. This is not just an ordinary thunderstorm out on the lake. A great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him up and said to him, do you not care that we perish? Don't ever get caught saying that to Jesus. Don't you care that I got the flu? Shame on you. Absolute shame on you. I guess everybody in the room, I know I've done that, but I've learned better than that. It wasn't because he didn't do anything, it's because I didn't receive it. My fault, not his. He can't miss it. And you know what happened? He rebuked the sea. Now, notice in verse 41. Now, these are sailors aboard that ship. Not all of them, but several of them were. They feared exceedingly. Something going on here. They came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And they came out, when he got out of the ship, there's a man met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And you know the story. Now, the 4th and 5th verses give us insight into what was going on there. No man could tame him. And he broke the chains off. Now, notice verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This man had an unclean spirit in him, a ruler of the darkness of this world. And by that unclean spirit in him, this unclean spirit was in command of a multitude of devils. And by doing that, he had command, Satan had command of that whole coastal region through fear in this man. He was controlling that whole area. And that exceeding storm and their exceeding fear was that demon trying to protect his territory. He knew who Jesus was and he knew he's coming. And he saw him afar off. Now notice this. He saw him from afar off. Look what he said. He said, he ran and worshiped and cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, you torment me not. And Jesus, now notice it. Now, read it carefully and make sure you get the tense right here. Present tense, past tense, future tense. Notice it. For he said unto him, Jesus had already said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. He said that before this demon said anything. Then, of course, the demon shot back at him then from afar off. Jesus said, what's your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, the rank and file from the lowest to the highest of Satan's operation is principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the atmosphere. Not in heaven, ain't no devils live up there. It was referring to this low heaven here. So here's a ruler of the darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of his light, so these things ought not be ruling our lives. We should be ruling their lives. And so he's a ruler of the darkness of this world, and he had many devils under his command. So he's using this man and those devils to control this whole area. Now notice here how we can tell that. He besought him much that he had not sent him away out of that country. And there were nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him. I mean, all of a sudden, the ruler of darkness of this world has lost his place of authority, and now all those demons are shouting at Jesus, and forget this guy, we're making our own case here. Because this demon had already lost his authority over them now. They said, hey, whoa, no. The unclean, and Jesus gave them leave to enter those hogs. Now notice, there were 2,000 hogs. It didn't say there's 2,000 devils. They might have been. There might have been 5,000 devils. They might have been 100,000 devils. But there's 2,000 hogs. It don't make me want to eat any more bacon for breakfast. Jesus don't think of more of them than that. I ain't going to eat a pig. Not after God said don't eat a pig.
Oh, yeah, but a couple of them, but we in the New Testament. We can eat whatever we want to. We're going fat, so eat whatever you want to, but I ain't eating the pig.
Forgive me.
That's...
that all right? I didn't say you couldn't eat the pig, but I ain't eating one, you understand? Some of y'all eating that pig, you don't know nothing about pigs, man. You ain't never had to slop none of them critters. Whoa, anything act like that, I ain't eating him for breakfast, I guarantee you. No. Need something else, man. Just soon eat a buzzard. Anyway. Now, look at what happened. Look at this right here. A man could function better. One man had spiritual capacity enough to still be alive, even though he's nuts under the influence of this thing. He's still alive, and 2,000, a whole herd of animals, could not stand the force of that many demons. That's what kind of spiritual capacity a human being has. Look, they, verse 14, that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why? Because they had been holding legion up as some kind of supernatural being, because you couldn't chain him and he never slept. And in some cases they worshiped him. He is probably Legion of the Mountains or something. Live up there in them tombs, cut himself, cry all night long. So he's the control factor. Today they call them human chalice, full of devils. And in Satan worship, there are those that invite demons to come in them. They're human chalice. Yeah, right. Well, now notice. When he was come into the ship, verse 17. They that saw it told them how it befell to him and was possessed with the devil and also the swine, and they began to pray Jesus to depart out of their coasts. They prayed for him to leave. So what did he do? He left. But now I want you to see something here. The man prayed Jesus that he might be with him. Jesus suffered him not, but said, no, you go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. Perfected love casts out fear. Go preach compassion. I don't want you coming with me. I need you over there. I need you to do something about this fear in this area. They all know you. Go preach compassion. So what happened? He departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now then, let's look at the 7th chapter. Let's go down to verse 30. The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Oh, excuse me, I'm in the 6th chapter. Let me get in the 7th along with you. That was good, though. Verse 30. This is the woman. Now, he sent her home, the daughter's maid. Well, when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and the daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. That's where the guy went to preach. That's where all the fear was. That's where the madman had been. That was his home. He was preaching compassion. What happened when a man obeyed God and his plan? He wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, no, go home and preach compassion.
Well, that flipped back over to 6 again. I guess I'm about to go home and read that. My Bible keeps turning to it for me. Chapter 7, where I'm blown now.
Again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hands upon him, and he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, spit and touched his tongue, looking up into heaven. Well, you know what happened. Praise God. Straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more deal they published it. Man, here they go again. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he's done all things well. These are the same people that ask him to leave. One man obeyed God and preached compassion, and it cast out fear. Now Jesus could go right through that same place, and they said, he does all things well. And they didn't need a crazy man in the tombs anymore. They had this man, Jesus. And you see how important it is? Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. I don't see what difference it makes. You know, God wants me over here or over there. Are you kidding? It makes all the difference in the world. You listen, you, when you got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, God raised you up to make you joint heir, not sub-heir, joint heir with Christ Jesus. The works that he does, you're supposed to be doing those works yourself, and even greater works than these shall you do because he went to the Father. You ought to be feeding thousands. You ought to be, the blessing ought to be flowing out of this church so that there ain't nothing in Chicago that can take it. It's time for the city of Chicago to become the most righteous, holy city in the North American continent and wipe the blood off of her face and wipe the thugs and get them all saved, bless God.
Amen.
Amen.
Instead of being the place where the devil is king, the people get delivered by the message of love.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you right now, this place right here is one of, not the only place, but one of the places that it's going to flow. It's flowing out of it right now. It's going to continue to flow out of it. I'm telling you, whole nations are being blessed because the blessing of the Lord is being taught and trained right here. Shall we stand up, please? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise God. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, let me tell you this. All these things are wonderful. All these things are good. The blessing of the Lord, both heaven and earth, are wonderful and good. But all of these wonderful and good things, prosperity and healing and all of these things, they're for the blessed.
Yeah, but I'm not blessed.